stripes you get there, and now you can change the way that you look at your career. But I must say that the amount of new material that we hear, like, I haven't heard much new material from Celine Dion since she got her residency. You know, there's one
Now,
or
and
two
actually,
songs that come
the
out.
line that "Vegas is where you go to die" was, it was Paul McCartney that said that.
Oh.
And that is a seasoned artist.
Interesting that he would say that. Well, I don't agree with you, Mr. McCartney, but I think that, oh my gosh, I forgot your previous question statement, Kim, because I had to come back, but I've already forgotten what you said. Oh, Celine Dion not releasing music. I think that for us, because I mean, I love Celine Dion, you know, she, you know, shout out to the hometown girl. But if I could say that I follow her in, like, you know, attentively, I don't. So I'm sure her fans would beg to differ. You know, I recently I heard that she had released an album. Like, I haven't listened to it, or I don't even know the name, but I knew that there was new Celine music out, and I'm sure that her fans have, like, consumed the material. But she's at a point,
I think it was 2 years. It's 2 years old now,
2 years?
her latest
Okay.
thing. Yeah.
Okay. Because I would say that people like herself, Mariah Carey, like these legends, like if they release music, it is just specifically for the fans. Like, if they don't really care if it reaches the masses or not, because why would you?
Oh, but Mariah Carey releasing music, it goes to the masses. I mean, Mariah Carey just released some new music, and she released something. I think it's 30 years since her debut album, and
Yeah.
she released
The rarities.
the rarities from back then that she, and people are like, well, why didn't you release this music before? So I mean, these are people who have been working on music from time. So I'm sure Celine has something that she could drag out of the closet and release
Oh, for
if she
sure.
wanted to.
Oh, for sure.
But that's the thing too with these artists, these veterans, they drop whenever they want to drop. Like, who cares at this point? Like, I'm not necessarily looking for Celine, but if she drops in like within the next months or in the next like 2 3 years, I'm cool. She drops something, I'll listen to it, but it's whatever. Like
So that being said, how does a new R&B artist reach the next level? How do they reach that past level if they don't necessarily get the play that they got in the past? If they don't necessarily get the deals or the introduction or the promotion that they got in the past, how can you even reach that level in the industry?
See, that's a good question, because right now we're on a wait and see thing with the music industry. We really don't know what's going to happen with the current artists, because it's so new. Like, this new formula, we don't know what is going to constitute a living legend or like a long lasting career. It's going to be like, okay, what has, you know, 21 Savage done? Is he like to be considered as a Nas, or like what are the criteria going to be? Because everything has changed. Everything is like flipped over on its head. So it's like, I can't even fully answer that question. How do you get to a Mariah or a, you know, or a Whitney level? Because it's like, how do you sell those amount? Like, what is streaming going to become in the next few years? Like, how are numbers going to be calculated next year? Like,
How are they even calculated now? I'm not even sure how they do that. You know, I mean, you have radio play. Some people, they listen to the radio, they listen to the music, the songs that are playing. Some people, I think maybe the main consumers, that younger crowd that consumes the music, might not necessarily be the crowd who's listening to the radio. And maybe not even, I don't even know, maybe they listen to the podcast, maybe they're not, because you're so able to direct your attention now. So like, I don't have to listen to everything. I can just, instead of just turning on the radio and then the radio suggesting a new artist to me, you know, I can just go on iTunes
You can just
and
go find what you like.
yeah, exactly. I type in what I want, or I go straight to, if it's alternative that I like, I go into the alternative tracks. If it's country music that I want, I go into the country tracks. So you don't necessarily have those artists who, like, I mean, an artist like Michael Jackson was able to like gather the attention of people of so many different genres. People who were country music lovers, like, well, I love Michael Jackson. Or people who were hardcore heavy metal lovers, be like, well, I still love Michael Jackson. But can you even get that type of grouping together of people towards an artist, towards a genre, if you can't get them to listen to it?
That's a great question. I would love to just be able to see that happen again, but I don't even see how that's possible.
Yeah. But there will never be a... It's not fair to say that we're looking for a Michael Jackson or whatever, because there will never be another Prince or Michael Jackson or Luther Vandross or Slash, the Eagle or whatever.
Never say never, but we're going to take a quick break.
All right.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to the folks from Breakdown to Lowdown, Nicky Jean and Clarence Nicholas. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3. FM.
Whatever you want, whatever you need, anything you want done, baby, I'll do it naturally. 'Cause thank you.
We're back. It is another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm in studios with...
Renee Jordan.
And we're talking to the folks from Breakdown to Lowdown, a show which discusses R&B music, breaking it down, and then gives you the lowdown on urban pop, what's going on in the community. Please, Nicolas...
Clarence.
Clarence and Nikki. I keep mixing up your reverse name and last name.
It's because you started off with the last name, you know.
Right.
It's all good.
So before the break, we were talking a little bit about music and how Michael Jackson and Prince were able to transcend genres. And Clarence, you were saying a little bit that it's not about replacing them, but maybe about finding...
Oh, he said that they couldn't get there. We can get there. But at the same time, like, we shouldn't be looking to sort of recreate those people of the past, but there should be able... We should have an emergence of artists that are able to have some sort of staying power.
But right? I feel right now Drake is our Michael Jackson.
Okay.
And I'm not a Drake.
I see Kim looking a kind of way. He's like,
I agree with him. I'm not a fan of Drake.
I'm like, wait, who? You mean the Degrassi guy? Like,
what?
No, like, hey, come on.
I'm
low-key a
Drake hater. I don't know. You're a Drake hater, Clarence, we know.
Yeah, so, no, but I give
I'm surprised to hear you say that.
No, but it's crazy because, like, I've been to one Drake concert before, and it's not because I bought the tickets, you know, like...
Oh, you got it for free. Commitment.
You already know, boyfriend commitment, but hey.
Okay.
But just to say that, like, yo, this guy, I'm not going to lie, I was there for 3 hours. The guy never stopped. Hits after hits after hits after hits after hit. The whole crowd...
He's an entertainer.
Word for word.
You know what? There's something to that, though. There's something to that Drake effect, I would say. And part of it is his support.
The support.
Toronto people support their artists.
That's true.
But that's the thing. And you're talking about support? This is, like, the only concert in my life that I saw all type of individual. From a black guy to a white guy to a Buddhist to whatever. Yeah, all type of people.
This tells me you've never been to a Beyonce concert.
Whatever. He touched everybody. So for me, personally, everywhere that you go in the world, people know Drake. So I feel like this is the closest thing. This is our Michael Jackson. That's how I feel from Drake. But I'm not a fan at all.
I know. What I'll say about Drake is if Beyonce is the Michael Jackson of this generation, which is what I believe, then Drake is the Prince. They both have viable influence. And they both are incredible performers and entertainers, and I really don't think we can take that away from Drake, no matter how we feel about the man personally, or, you know, his lyricism, and vice versa, however you feel about Beyonce and her being commercialized. We're not gonna, like, these are names that you go anywhere in the world and people are gonna know who that is. Mm-hmm. They have achieved that. That's beautiful. When it comes to having another crop of artists who can reach some of these heights that we've been discussing before the break, we kind of, I think if anybody was listening to that, it would kind of sound very bleak. And it is bleak, I'm not going to lie. But if there's one thing that cannot be denied and that we've shown in the last couple of years, it's quality and it's talent. When you have a good product and it's good and it's been developed, you're going to reach the masses. I think that Adele has shown this, and she has reached people from all walks of life. I think Kendrick Lamar has shown this as well, where he's a rapper that has been able to touch genres well beyond rap, and been influential in those spaces. So I do think that it is possible. I think it right now, because we're always filtering through so much, it's kind of harder to zone in on that quality. But when it happens, it's beautiful.
Makes me wonder, what is the formula?
I'm really on the fence about Beyonce being equivalent to Michael Jackson and Drake to Prince, because I think about I think okay. about where both of those artists came from, Prince and Michael Jackson. I think about the fact that Prince not only was he a musical genius of like magnanimous proportions, but also he knew music on an instrumental level. So he could play, I think in the repertoire, it's over 100 that was like the last count.
Don't get me wrong. Not equivalent at all. There's nobody that touches these two people. Like, Beyonce's maybe at you know, Michael's heel. Let's be serious. Okay. However, I'm talking.
I give it to the shin.
Maybe the shin, the ankle, you know, she might be getting up there. But the thing is, like, I'm talking like the closest you can get to, kind of. Like, if we're looking at the current artists, right. I can't really think of anybody else who has had this kind of influence on culture.
Right. Yeah, because I feel like music has changed and become something different than what it is. And it's neither good nor bad, but it's hard for me to. I think I'm the oldest person in this chat right now, so I have like a certain kind of exposure to music and musicality. Veteran. That old is good. There's nothing wrong with saying old. That you know, like when you're comparing them, it's kind of like, wait, but Prince can play like 100 instruments and he can do all of this stuff, and then.
Also, you don't like Drake, so
I don't have a problem with Drake. I will rap to Drake, but I'm not his biggest fan either. I'm kind of like I give respect where respect is due, and you know he came out of his Degrassi thing, and then he got his $10,000 loan, and I know the whole story. You know, much respect where respect is due, because I certainly am not gonna do that, or would I have done that? No, but. To put them at the same level of, to me, people who are true legends, it's, I'm on the fence, because I'm like,
true legend,
you know,
the shade,
I don't know,
that is shade. I mean, but I think like, we're gonna be talking about Drake differently in 20 years. There's gonna be a whole shift in conversation around Drake.
Drake, to be honest, like, he'd been going 10 years strong, and nobody had that. He had a decade of dominance. I don't care what you're saying, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I feel like the people that are going to come and take over are people who are going to have been in the background for a long time. And then they're just slowly going to... They release one song, two, three songs. And then they're just going to... Like, for me, Anderson .Paak, he felt like he came out of nowhere. But if I understand, and I'm... Please correct me if I'm wrong, but he's been around for a while. Yeah. He's been working on music for a while.
Honestly, I don't think any artist just comes out of nowhere. Like,
right.
It just appears that way. To you or to me, you know, we just, now we know them, they're on the scene. But really, they've been toiling from 4 or 5, you know, the way up. They've been in a choir. They've been in the back of the elementary school class singing, the back of the bus singing or doing whatever. And building their way up till they get there. Like, some people, you know, the curve goes up fast. Some people, you know, it goes up a little slower. Mm-hmm. But either way, they've been toiling.
No, but what I mean is, like, did y'all watch the show Rhythm and Flow?
No.
Okay. No, was that the one where Sir's brother won?
Mm-hmm. Come again?
Sir's brother, he won the... Who's the guy that won?
D-Smoke.
Sir's brother. Yeah.
Like,
Sir is a dope R&B artist. If you guys don't know him, please get into Sir.
D-Smoke has been around for a long time, writing for everybody. And when I watched Rhythm and Flow, just kind of haphazardly, and he has an R&B vibe, he has a hip hop vibe, he has a hardcore rap vibe to him. That is well seasoned, and he plays instruments. And Anderson .Paak is someone who plays multiple instruments. And I look at these guys, and I'm kind of just discovering them now because I'm not hardcore into music like that. But to me, these guys and the way that their trajectory is going are the ones that are gonna be mainstays. And they're not pushing out things very quickly. They're pushing them out in a way that is like, okay. You know, you can get to know them little by little, and then as you watch their career grow, you know, I feel like they're going to be the ones that in 10 to 20 years are going to be still there producing, even, I don't know, it's gonna reach you on a different level, I think.
I agree with you on that. I always say that jacks of all trades in the music industry that play instrument, that sing, that rap, that produce, that write or whatever, they're the one that have that longevity, because like at one point you might not see a project coming out from them, but they're still in the back working with some of your favorite artists and you don't even know.
Yeah.
Either on the writing or production side or whatever. So you're right on that, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's coming to almost the end of the show. It went by super, super fast. Please let people know where they can listen to y'all, where they can get at y'all if they want to find out more information about what you're doing individually and as a collective.
Yes, amazing. Okay, so absolutely for me, like I said before, my personal page, you can follow me at Nicki Music. That's NickyMusique. The music is spelled in French. And if you want to listen to the podcast, we're available anywhere podcasts are listened to. Breakdown 2 Lowdown. That's Breakdown, the number 2 Lowdown. On Instagram, we are at Breakdown to Lowdown. On Twitter, at Real_B2L. Like us on Facebook as well, Breakdown to Lowdown. And that's with the number 2 and not the word 2 all around.
And for myself on Instagram, who is Mr. Cool? When it comes for the shed MTL, the DJ battle, welcome to DBL, and the brunch, rhythm and brunch, welcome to R&B.
Right. Yes.
Thank you both so much for coming on the show and chatting with us. This has been really interesting. I feel like I've gotten a bit more education about the music industry and music in general. So that's it. We're done.
Thank you. This was fun.
Yeah. You are listening to Soul Perspectives. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I've been with my co-host,
Renee Jordan.
And you can catch us here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30. You are listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM.
As we continue to fight the spread of COVID-19, there are new support programs in place for those who need them, including a stronger, more accessible EI and 3 new recovery benefits. Continuing to support Canadians now will help keep us safe and make Canada more resilient. Visit canada.ca/coronavirus to learn about the new income support programs. A message from the Government of Canada.
In the fight against COVID-19, we must all continue to respect public health guidelines and follow self-isolation instructions. Self-isolate if you have symptoms. Self-isolate after testing. Self-isolate if the test is positive. Self-isolate when you return from a trip. And self-isolate when you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive. Self-isolation is important. Please, take it seriously. Learn more at quebec.ca/self-isolating. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
コーネの作曲でノベジェントの電話でした。次水俣です。
This is Health on Earth.
Salud en la tierra.
Dinyan en salve.
Elsaha del alam.
Briut faulam.
Pour la santé sur la terre.
Gesund in belt.
Dinhong esaigai.
Afianzuri duniani.
Saúd para todo mundo.
Manquet en direct nai.
Brikibi monte suri de jokma.
Salomat der jahan.
Zavashas derodi.
A pomodoro assassino.
Strovio na gente.
La salute su terra.
Health on Earth.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Health on Earth at CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Francois, and I will be your host for today. For today's show, we'll hear about the COVID update that Dr. Teresa Tam gave this week, as well as a few questions from last week's update. Here's what she had to say.
There have been more recorded cases of COVID-19 in Canada in the last few days. There have been record number of cases in the last few days. And this is obviously concerning to everyone. For our part, the federal government has been working closely with our provincial colleagues since the beginning of the pandemic to ensure that Canadians are supported. As you know, this week, Prime Minister Trudeau will host a First Minister's meeting with premiers to continue these urgent discussions surrounding our collective response to COVID-19. It will be our 23rd meeting with premiers since March, And this is a meeting that we are very much looking forward to. Nous pourrons discuter des questions.
We will be able to discuss urgent pandemic-related issues, focusing on vaccine and important discussions on how to strengthen our healthcare system. From the first day, the federal government committed to focusing on the needs of Canadians during the pandemic. Canadians expect this, and they have a right to expect this.
As the finance minister and the prime minister have said, 8 out of every $10 spent by all governments in the fight against COVID-19, investing $322 billion to support Canadians since the beginning of the pandemic. From protective equipment to rapid tests, we have sent the provinces. Our government has been there every step of the way. Canadians want us to remain focused on seeing them through this pandemic, and that is exactly what we are focused on. Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. I would now like to invite Dr. Tam and then Dr. Words. Yes.
Good day, everyone. Bonjour à toutes et à tous. There have been 423,054 cases of COVID-19 in Canada, including 12,777 deaths. Nationally, there are over 71,540 active cases across the country. And over the past week, labs across Canada have tested an average of over 80,000 people daily, with 8% testing positive. Yesterday, 6,499 cases were reported nationally. In addition, there were over 1,370 new cases reported for Saturday and Sunday. So this brings the average daily case count to over 6,415 cases for the past week. The number of people experiencing severe illness continues to increase. Over the past 7 days, there were, on average, over 2,680 individuals with COVID-19 being treated in Canadian hospitals, including about 530 in critical care, and an average of over 92 deaths were reported each day. Yesterday, the Government of Canada announced some good news about vaccines amid our ongoing concerns about rapid growth and increasing severe outcomes of COVID-19 in Canada. Pending regulatory approval, assuring quality, safety, and effectiveness, Pfizer is set to provide us with up to 249,000 early doses of a COVID-19 vaccine in December. But it is important to stress that, as welcome as this news is, it does not mean that control of COVID-19 will be quick. Initial supplies of COVID-19 vaccines will be limited, but supply will gradually increase until there is enough to provide access for all Canadians. During these initial stages of vaccine rollout, it is crucial that we all continue with public health measures to protect ourselves and others. The response to the COVID-19 pandemic is the biggest collective effort of our lifetimes. It has relied on the effort of all Canadians, from individuals, institutions, all levels of government, and across sectors. As we embark on Canada's COVID-19 vaccine response, I am confident that together we will be successful in rolling out one of the most complex operations ever to take place in public health. Canada has an existing strong foundation for pandemic response, including vaccine regulation, distribution, and delivery. In addition, our partnership with Major General Fortin and the Canadian Armed Forces has added significant expertise and experience to manage the complex operational and logistical arrangements. Knowing safe and effective vaccines are within sight might lead some to think COVID-19 is no longer a problem, but the reality is very different. Canada and many countries around the world are still experiencing high infection rates, which has placed intense strain on hospitals and health systems, as well as the health workers that have been responding to this crisis for many months. So we need to keep telling ourselves this is not a race to the finish, but a test of our continued collective effort and resolve. and we will endure. For now, we must all continue to follow local public health advice and maintain individual protective practices that will keep us safe along the path ahead. Merci. Thank you.
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Good morning to all. There have been 423,054 cases of COVID-19 in Canada, including 12,777 deaths. Nationally, there are over 71,540 active cases across the country. Over the past week, labs across Canada have tested an average of over 80,000 people daily, with 8% testing positive. Yesterday, 6,499 cases were reported nationally. In addition, there were over 1,370 new cases reported for Saturday and Sunday, and this brings the average daily case count to over 6,415 cases for the past week. The number of people experiencing severe illness continues to increase. Over the past 7 days, there were on average over 2,680 individuals with COVID-19 being treated in Canadian hospitals, including about 530 in critical care, and an average of over 92 deaths were reported each day. Yesterday, the Government of Canada announced some good news about vaccines amid our ongoing concerns about rapid growth and increasing severe outcomes of COVID-19 in Canada. Pending regulatory approval, assuring quality, safety, and effectiveness, Pfizer is set to provide us with up to 249,000 early doses of a COVID-19 vaccine in December. However, it is important to stress that, as welcome as this news is, it does not mean that control of COVID-19 will be quick. Initial supplies of COVID-19 vaccines will be limited, but supply will gradually increase until there is enough to provide access for all Canadians. During these initial stages of vaccine rollout, it's crucial that we all continue with public health measures to protect ourselves and others. The response to the COVID-19 pandemic is the biggest collective effort of our lifetime. It has relied on the efforts of all Canadians, from individuals, institutions, all levels of government, and across sectors. As we embark on Canada's COVID-19 vaccine response, I am confident that together we will be successful in rolling out one of the most complex operations ever to take place in public health. Canada has an existing strong foundation for pandemic response, including vaccine regulation, distribution, and delivery. In addition, our partnership with Major General Fortin and the Canadian Armed Forces has added significant expertise and experience to manage the complex operational and logistical arrangements. Knowing safe and effective vaccines are within sight might lead some to think COVID-19 is no longer a problem. But the reality is very different. Canada and many other countries around the world are still experiencing high infection rates, which has placed intense strain on hospitals and health systems, as well as the health workers that have been responding to this crisis for many months. So we need to keep telling ourselves this is not a race to the finish, but a test of our continued collective effort and resolve, and we will endure. For now, we must all continue to follow local public health advice and maintain individual protective practices that will keep us safe along the path ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Merci, Dr. New. Thank you, Dr. Tam. So obviously now we're open to questions, and Major General Fortin will be prepared to answer any questions around the logistics involving the vaccine rollout.
Merci beaucoup. Donc, nous allons commencer avec les questions au téléphone pour trois questions. We'll begin with chaque question on the phone. Question et une question de suivi. We will start on the phone for questions, right question three questions, one question and one follow-up. Opérateur, c'est à vous.
Our first question, la première question, Raymond Filion, TVA. Your line is open. À vous la parole.
Merci. Une question pour Thank you. Dominique
question
Leblanc.
For Monsieur Minister Dominique Leblanc. Mr. Leblanc, I'd like to know more about the meeting on Thursday with First Ministers. Provinces, as you know, are asking for 28 billion more per year. In your opinion, is that a realistic ask?
Well, as you know, for several months, Prime Minister Trudeau has agreed to calls from the provinces and territories to have a discussion on healthcare and how to guarantee quality, long-term, accessible healthcare. We've heard the First Minister's request. We're happy to have that discussion, and we're happy to begin that discussion this Thursday, the day after tomorrow. But we will also take into account the huge investment the federal government has already made in public health, as the government has supported Canadians and Canadian businesses from the start of the pandemic. The pandemic caused the government to invest over $300 billion, and we will continue to support Canadians and provinces and territories in their important healthcare needs in the context of the pandemic. So we will discuss that issue, and of course, we will also discuss with premiers of the provinces and territories. We'll talk about the importance of coordinating the logistics of vaccine distribution. We hear that you would prefer to focus on the pandemic on Thursday rather than on long-term financing for the provinces. Is that correct? I believe that Canadians expect their government, both the federal and provincial governments, that they focus on important issues linked to the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. It's not surprising that the provinces and territories would want to gather to discuss healthcare issues. Yet we need to keep on focusing on working together to fight COVID-19. We will talk about the arrival of the vaccines, and we recognize that the federal government spent $8 out of $10 to help support Canadians throughout the pandemic. We have transferred over $20 billion already to the provinces and territories to help them, for instance, to purchase personal protective equipment and to help them with contact tracing. So we will keep on helping the provinces and territories in a very significant manner. And we are looking forward to a conversation on how we can work together to ensure that quality and accessible health care is there for Canadians in the long term. We share that objective with the provinces.
Prochaine question.
Merci, thank you. Our next question, la prochaine question, Steve Scherrer, Reuters. Votre ligne est ouverte. Please go ahead.
Hello. I think this question's for Dr. Tam. Yesterday, officials in Ontario said long-term care residents may need to wait for the Moderna vaccine because of advice from Pfizer to avoid moving it from its initial delivery point, something that Pfizer confirmed to us. Will this delay vaccination for long-term care residents across the country, and was this unexpected?
So I think it's a rapidly evolving situation. So I think everyone has to remain flexible and adaptable. And I think some of this will come through the dry runs and all these preparations that we will have initially. That is the concept at the beginning of rolling out the Pfizer vaccine, is to try and sort of keep it at the point of use. That's for a start. I expect that as more information, as more experience with the vaccine and its transportation from the initial site of where you deliver the vaccine, that will change. So I do think that's a fluid situation. But it's true that you cannot move residents very easily from a long-term care facility to a vaccination site. So that's just the realities. In the meantime, you've got to continue to protect long-term care facilities, as I said, using all the public health measures necessary, and including testing and screening and personal protective equipment to protect our elders.
Okay, thank you. The next question is for the Minister, LeBlanc. U.S. President Trump's expected to sign an executive order today to ensure Americans have priority access to COVID-19 vaccines. And I wanted to ask if you think this will affect the delivery of the up to 249,000 Pfizer doses expected next week here in Canada. And does Canada have any recourse if this executive order does, in fact, make it difficult to bring vaccines to Canada from the United States?
So we're very confident that Pfizer and other vaccine makers that are contractually obligated to deliver doses to Canada will be able to meet those obligations. We've said from the beginning we have a very diversified portfolio, one of the best in the world in terms of different doses, different companies, obviously all subject to the appropriate regulatory approval by Health Canada. But with respect to the Pfizer doses that we expect to start arriving in the coming days, in the next week or so, we have already assumed that we shouldn't be tied to one particular manufacturing site. So the contracts themselves contemplate that Pfizer, for example, has manufacturing facilities in Europe as well as the United States. So we're confident that there won't be any disruption in the effective and timely supply of vaccines to Canadians. We contemplated that in the procurement agreements we've signed.
Merci. Prochaine question.
Thank you. Merci. Our next question, la prochaine question, Catherine Lévesque, La Presse Canadienne. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good morning to all of you. My first question is for Major General Fortin. I know you referred to this yesterday, but can you give us more details about how the vaccine distribution will roll out, namely for the vaccines coming in the next few days? Where are they going to arrive? How will they be distributed to the provinces? And how will they ultimately be administered?
Oui, alors,
as I said yesterday, there will be 14 initial distribution sites.
Points d'utilisation ou de distribution ont été identifiés par les provinces.
Have been identified by the provinces
le vaccin de Pfizer.
For Alors, Pfizer's vaccine.
Ces endroits-là ont été sélectionnés
Those
par les provinces.
Were chosen by the provinces.
Ils rencontrent des critères.
They
on peut
meet
de
certain
voir,
criteria.
En termes de milieu hospitalier,
some will
le personnel,
be in hospitals. We're also taking into account that there will be enough competent
avec,
medical professionals
la gamme des tâches à exécuter
to carry out everything that needs to be done from the moment the vaccine is received in a thermal
la manipulation des produits
the handling of the doses up to the administration of the vaccines. The provinces have chosen additional sites, and over the coming days and weeks, we will start to activate those sites.
Ils ont été sélectionnés particulièrement pour tenir compte des conditions indiquées par Pfizer pour pouvoir
based on the conditions laid out by Pfizer so that the vaccines can be administered as quickly as possible to all Canadians.
Certainly, the whole thing? Okay. So this week we start small, dry run, and then next week start, the expectation is that we start receiving, or at least we're postured to receive vaccines in 14 initial locations selected by the provinces. And they were selected based on the fact that they require the right personnel with the right qualification and sufficient numbers and the right facilities in hospitals and, you know, similar type of facility. additional sites will be turned on over the next days and weeks by the provinces. They selected those sites, and they will activate those at a pace that is appropriate for the quantities that we expect to receive. And then we'll be able to, with the provinces in the lead, administer vaccine at scale as they become available. And they were particularly chosen so that they can be close to the population that will receive the vaccines, and the appropriate measures for the handling of the vaccine are being considered. So this is very much with a view to having vaccine accessible to as many Canadians as possible, as rapidly as possible, and as safely as possible.
As a follow-up, if I may, Pfizer is going to distribute the vaccines in the coming days following approval by Health Canada. So where exactly were the doses arrive in Ottawa? And are the doses then going to be flown out to other locations? Can you break down the stages before the vaccines get to their final destination?
Sure.
Pfizer will bring the vaccine to Canada, and Pfizer, in fact, will bring the vaccines to the 14 distribution points and then to the further sites. So the company will be doing that. What we're doing this week is to make sure that the delivery process, the transfer process, the cold supply chain is ready and in place.
C'est la compagnie Pfizer.
But Pfizer itself,
le fournisseur de services que la compagnie a choisi,
with the service provider it has chosen, will distribute the vaccines as quickly as possible.
Merci. Nous allons maintenant passer dans la salle pour trois questions. Ils reviendront au téléphone par la suite. We will now come to the room for three questions. We'll come back to the phone after that. Tonda, off to you.
Tonda McCharles, Toronto Star. Since we're on the dry run and stuff, Major General Fortin, can you talk about the dry run so far? I gather it goes all week, but so you started it yesterday. What did it look like? What holes did you find? What challenges do you see you have to address in the next while?
Thank you. So it's too early to tell what we learned from that. But one thing for sure is that we initiated the process last week. Really, yesterday, the orders were received at Pfizer, and Pfizer, sent shipping or thermal shippers. So those boxes that were put on the plane yesterday, yesterday about this time, they were in the air, and they were flying from Belgium and through different nodes, transfer points that will make it to Canada in the next day or day after. Upon arrival at the points of use, the data reader will be able to get the reading from the data reader, so we'll have a good sense of the temperature throughout the journey, and we'll have identified if any critical or failure or friction points in the critical path. Today, people are being trained on this, and then upon receipt, they will handle the package and they will have learned as a result and share those lessons across the population or the public health enterprise. There are no vaccines. There are empty boxes, but they have dry ice and they have to be handled with their care, the appropriate care.
Thanks. If you could also address, there is some questions still around, you mentioned the other day that the Indigenous leaders up north have said to you they want to wait till the Moderna comes along or another vaccine where they don't have such stringent freezer requirements. But could you address more specifically right now where planning is at for the federal government to distribute to the populations it's responsible for, including Indigenous and First Nations, including military personnel and their families and veterans, and including prisoners?
I can cover some of that. So in close cooperation with the provinces and territories, we're identifying those points of use, those points of distribution for the other vaccines. And I realize how complicated this can be using different language, but there's a difference in how the Pfizer vaccine and other vaccines are handled, and the Pfizer vaccine has particular requirements with the ultra-low temperature chain. But the territories have indicated a preference for the Moderna and other products, as they are easier to handle because of the particular requirements, as I said, of the Pfizer vaccine. So we're in daily discussions with territories and provinces and agencies and other departments to pinpoint the process, the locations, and ensure that everyone's or every stakeholder's perspectives are accounted for in the plan. And this week, as we continue to rehearse, we identify those additional points of discussion, and we ensure that we have clarity amongst all stakeholders as to the way forward. So we'll continue to adjust as we move forward, but they, the provinces and territories, that is really, are pulling in the sense of indicating what the locations are going to be, and they will put in the orders as appropriate. Yeah, thank you. So for the other populations, the CAF, the Canadian Armed Forces members, Corrections Canada, this is very much a part of those discussions as well. And where exactly they sit in the priority, I'd have to come back to you. But they will get a small amount of vaccines in the first quarter to address those populations at risk as per the guidance received and being applied across Canada.
Maybe I'll just add that the vast majority of vaccine will be deployed and implemented by the provinces and territories. Very small numbers are expected to address those very specific federal populations that don't get it from the provincial territorial system, that being healthcare workers, for example, in corrections and the CAF, Canadian Armed Forces, or some elderly populations within that context. So they will follow the sort of prioritization approach as well.
And this is all the time we have for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Once again, you are listening to Health on Earth at CKUT 90.3 FM. Have a good week and see you in 2 weeks.
CKUT Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
Parents need your help. You're there. When your kids say something's wrong, you're there. When your friends have a rough day, you're there. Be there for yourself the way you're there for others, as it's normal for these uncertain times to bring out negative emotions or anxiety. If you're finding it difficult to carry out daily tasks, there are solutions. Visit quebec.ca/gettingbetter or call Info Sociale 811. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Good evening. The time roundabout now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM. To get tonight's program started off, here's Buddy Johnson and his number, Welcome.